true, everything is can be experienced as awareness. But for most people, they will say, well, where's the heart?
Mm-hmm.
It's just awareness, and you know, it's nice, it's free, it's light. But how about the sweetness? How about the juice?
Hallo en welkom bij deze aflevering van Inzicht in Non-Dualiteit. De podcast van het magazine Inzicht met verdiepende gesprekken over non-dualiteit. Mijn naam is Klaas Aart Kok en in deze aflevering gaat Zoë Jonkheren in gesprek met de spiritueel leraar en schrijver A.H. Almaas over zijn nieuwste boek Non-Duale Liefde. Ik wens je veel plezier.
So, I would like to talk with you about your latest book, Non-Dual Love, with the very beautiful subtitle, Awakening to the Loving Nature of Reality. I like that reality has a loving nature. I also like the tone in your book where it's often about sweetness, a bit like in the way the Sufis talk about.
Yeah, it is so similar, yes.
And often women, in my view.
Yeah.
Yes, unlike men who sometimes are a bit afraid of using the word love for reality. And in the beginning of your book, you say something, you say non-dual love, in non-dual love, there is no experience of reality anymore because there's not two anymore. There's no object relation anymore. We are reality. We are one, so we cannot relate to it.
Yes.
Could you explain what is reality, actually?
The question is, it's better to use the term, what is the nature of things, you know, because there is what people consider reality, which is more the physical world and the people in it. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual teachings say there is something deeper also. Mm-hmm. That underlies all of that. And when we experience that ground, whether that's consciousness or love, we see that it is not only the nature, it makes up all of reality is made out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, people call that then that's true reality. Like it's not just what people call reality, there's the reality in its true condition.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's the dimension from where everything is created.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That everything is consciousness or light. But in this book, I talk about as love.
Yes, in this book, you talk about love, but you also you talk about boundless dimensions.
Boundless,
and there's other boundless dimensions. It's not only love, you say, it's also presence, awareness.
Well, because in the teaching I give, you know, I have a teaching. Non-duality for me is not just because most teaching about non-dual reality, they talk of non-dual as consciousness or awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying in my teaching, it actually has five dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Can be experienced as awareness, can be experienced as love, can be experienced as emptiness, can be experienced as presence, and can be experienced as dynamic creativity.
Mm-hmm. So how does it help us to distinguish these five boundless dimensions? Because for me, it seems like there is only one truth. but there must be a reason that you have those five terms.
Because that's how I experience them. I experience one after the other. And my discovery, initial discovery of them waking up, first I experience everything as love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, I look at the trees and the sky, the birds, my body, my desk, it's all made out of beautiful golden love. Mm-hmm. That feels happy and light. And I was like that for, you know, some time, some months, mm-hmm. completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then the change, one of those days I saw it's all the... It became more transparent, colorless. And it was just pure fullness and felt like existence.
Mm-hmm.
Pure existence. Everything is pure existence.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is made out of this pure. But this pure existence is a medium that has a fullness, that has a transparent fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And it is another experience, but it is, you experience it as the whole world is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of why it's boundless means, and not bounded by any particular object mm-hmm. or form.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I experienced it as pure awareness, which is many of the, like the Buddhist non-dual teaching talk about awareness. And then I experienced it as pure empty. Everything is is totally empty. It's like radiance of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like emptiness has a shine. The shine is the world we know.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I let you talk first.
Yeah, and then the fifth one was showing how this world that we know changes. Mm-hmm. Because it's always changing. And the change turned out to be a creativity, that the world is recreated every instant. In a slightly different way. So it appears as from the outside out of changes in time. While there are changes, the world is created anew in the way the Sufis talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk about Khalq Jadid, which means new creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Ibn Arabi, 13th century Sufi, talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But is it then for you each time a step further? Those different dimensions?
Well, at the beginning, they appeared one after the other, appearing as a hierarchy.
Yes.
But then at some point, they became, they're all can be there at the same time.
Uh-huh.
You see?
So what would you call it then, when they are all there at the same time?
Well, I call it then a total non-duality.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's more, it has more texture, more weight, and sometimes one of them dominate over the other, depending on what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that much more encompassing, much holds more experience than to say everything is awareness. It's true, everything is can be experienced as awareness, but for most people, they will say, well, where's the heart?
Mm-hmm.
It's just awareness, and you know, it's nice, it's free, it's light, but how about the sweetness? How about the juice?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you see it as all love.
Yes.
And you know, the Buddhists will not
that with my heart.
You know, the people who believe it's pure awareness, they will not say it's wrong to say it's all love. They just emphasize the awareness part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you feel yourself, you're always there? In one of those five states, or all of them at the same time, or are you
for a long time? Then things change. I'm in a different place than those things. There are other realizations that happen. The non-dual is only one stage of my teaching.
Mm-hmm.
There are other stages that happen after that. So my experience can be non-dual, can be something that is neither dual nor non-dual.
Mm-hmm.
Something very mysterious that you cannot describe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, your work is indeed very broad. It seems to me a diamond approach. So you have many aspects, many levels, many entries going from the psychological level up until the non-dual love. In my case, I would say, but there is even more. And you do a lot of inquiry. So when it's on the object relation, you see how we are determined by our earliest relationships. Yes. That's more the ego and soul level. But also on this level, the level of self-realization, you suggest to do self-inquiry. So, and to inquiry into the nature of reality itself.
Yes.
How does it work? What kind of questions do we then ask?
Well, inquiry means exploring the experience to find out what is it. To know, because people experience something, they don't necessarily understand it. They don't know what it means. They don't know what else is present in it. Inquiring means exploring and looking more closely at it, feeling it more. It's not mental inquiry. It's experiential. It's an inquiry with the heart. Mm-hmm. You feel it, you be it, but you also wonder, what is it? What does it mean? What is its function? Mm-hmm. How does it affect life? How does it affect expression? So yeah. The inquiry brings answer to all these things, but the answer comes as experiences and new kind ways of experience.
Right. So it's like taking away layers.
Yeah, taking away layers or opening reality to different way for it to show its some of its secrets.
Yes.
You see.
Yeah. Actually, when we are in self-realization, we change perspective. So we are no longer the individual experiencing the sacred or essence, but we are essence that mm-hmm. has developed something that we call personalities.
Yeah.
And the neighbor and billions of other people.
And that's how I've been experiencing myself for many years. I'm not the individual, and there's no more individual.
No more individual.
I don't experience myself as an individual, although I can function in the world as an individual.
And
I talk to people, drive my car.
But you still have a personality? What's the difference? Individual or personality? Is that something else?
No, an individual is not personality.
You still have a personality.
It is an expression of being itself, expression of spirit. Like spiritual nature manifests as a functional person.
Mm-hmm.
It comes through the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And animate and moves the body. So I don't move the body. There's no body, no one, no self moving the body. It is the true nature, the spiritual nature that's moving the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the body is not separate from it. It's just an extension of it.
Yeah, it's like the creation creates itself to see itself. It's also something that the Sufis say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do you have any idea why would essence want to develop personalities?
Well, the personality, what people call the ego, is a necessary step.
Uh-huh.
Because for true nature, spiritual nature, to know itself, it will need a being, a particular being with capacity to perceive and to know. Because true nature by itself cannot know itself, because it's like how, you know, it needs eyes and, you know, and ears. And so it manifests the body and consciousness through which comes through the body, and that way it knows itself. And but for it to develop a body, the body is born as a little infant, and that little infant cannot survive if it doesn't develop a sense of ego self.
Mm-hmm.
It need to protect, know how to survive physically first. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a stage of development, and the way I understand it, it's a stage of development of consciousness that develops a body that first recognizes itself as a self, as an ego self. But that is a stage. Most people get stuck on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I see it not as a mistake, not as something wrong, but as a necessary stage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at it. All the people who got realized, they started with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody starts, you know, born awakened. Everybody has to go through it because that shows you it's a universal natural process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, we all go through. So if one experiences themselves as an ego, they shouldn't feel bad. It's a stage. But if you believe that's all you are, that becomes a problem, because that's just the beginning of who you are.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of something that I found very beautiful in your book. You say self-realization doesn't mean we have to transcend being human. Because
right.
That's often the way people see it. We have to get rid of being human because we are something else. But you say it is being human to become self-realized.
Yeah, you see, the human being is not completely human unless they're realized.
Yes.
Because they're human, but they're half human still. They don't know the deepest part of themselves yet. It's not integrated, it's not manifesting. When everything is manifesting, then you have the body, the mind, and the spiritual nature all together.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the human being. So a human being is not only, human being is necessary for true nature to know itself.
Yes, yes, I understand.
The way
do you think it's the ultimate purpose for everybody?
Yeah, since you know about the Sufis, the way Ibn Arabi said it is that God needs the soul as much as the soul needs God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the soul needs God for it to exist. God needs the soul for God to know itself.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it is God experiencing himself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Through the human soul.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that
the human soul is the organ that God developed for God to manifest? No, yeah, I can see, know myself, all my possibilities, because God has infinite possibilities. But God is like, has no eyes, no ears. How is it going to know itself?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I very much like that image.
Yeah.
But isn't then the purpose for everybody to ultimately get self-realized? Would you say that?
Well, it is potential for everybody to do that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being a human being this is our potential. That's when we are fully mature.
Mm-hmm. There is something that I find myself sometimes confusing, and you talk about this in your book, because we can experience that we are love, being, presence, but at the same time, we tend to address this love, being, presence, like, sometimes I feel grateful and I want to say thank you, but in a way then I say thank you to myself because I am also a
person. Well, as an individual human being, we are thankful for the boundless.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and the boundless doesn't feel thankful. The boundless simply creates the individual and it is part of itself.
But as some people are not an individual anymore, as you said, but do you still feel this gratefulness or the longing to express this gratefulness or to address essence? Or
yeah, I mean, it's natural to be grateful because, you know, you wonder when people are awakened or realized, what does that mean? What do they feel? They don't feel gratitude. They don't feel respect. They don't feel, they do, you know,
yes.
And they're humble and they're loving and they're caring. All that happens, but these are personal things.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
But so you feel at the same time that it is what you are, this essence, and at the same time you say thank you to this same essence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And gratitude means things are working. It's happening.
Yeah, I think gratitude.
Happening the way it's supposed to happen, so I'm grateful. And it feels good and feel free and all of that. And I mean, it's like being given a gift, but the gift is what you are. It's not like something extra.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. You say that we have to work on and through the relationship with our parents, the one we had as a child with our parents, to understand our relationship to the sacred. Can you explain how my parents are relevant for me to understand?
Well, I mean, yes, that's a good point, because many teachings don't discuss that part.
No.
May you do meditation or something or another. They don't try to understand their history. But really, the ego self is created through history. It's all history of all of our childhood experience or education or conditioning. All of that is what created the self. So we need to understand that for that to completely dissolve. We don't understand it, but we are realized at the boundless that individual self is there someplace, not finished.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to really finish with it, we have to understand, as we understand it, it dissolves. And so when you say grateful, if we have a problem with our parents, we don't feel grateful toward them, it will be difficult for us to feel grateful for our spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because there is an obstacle in the mind about feeling gratitude.
Yeah, so as long as this relationship with our father and mother is not healed,
yeah,
we are stuck. We cannot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, teaching talk about obstacles or in the way of realization. And the obstacle can be seen as our history. And which include the main part of it is our relationship to our parents, people who took care of us, whether they loved us or not, whether we felt rejected or not, whether we taken care of enough, or whether they're abused or trauma. All of that is important, because if that's there in the mind, it will become some kind of an occlusion, a barrier in the consciousness that doesn't allow consciousness to manifest itself fully.
So is this about forgiveness? As long as we think something was wrong in our childhood.
Want me to speak about it?
We feel anger or we judge or...
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody feels those things. Not normal for a human being when they are in the ego stage. And because that the ego stage is the consciousness that is formed and developed through what happened in our history. What happened in our history leaves impression, leaves traces in the consciousness that appear as those remaining reaction, emotion states, sometimes law of suffering, you know, as you know. And by us coming to terms with them, mean feeling them, acknowledging them, seeing the truth of them, and not trying to push them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not trying to say, no, that's not good, I don't want to feel. And the understanding basically dissolves them. The best way for them to dissolve is full understanding. By fully understanding, mean you feel it and you understand where it came from, who you feel it about, where it came, all of that is there in the consciousness, is left in the consciousness, doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is it understanding with the heart?
Yes, the heart is very important for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The mind understands, but can't do it completely without the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because much of the understanding is experience, mm-hmm. feeling.
You also talk about a personal God in your book.
Yeah.
Can you explain what is a personal God?
Well, I mean, many people, and especially in the Western kind religions, for them, God is a personal God, meaning you have a personal relationship to them. I am a person, and personal God mean is somebody I could talk to, I could pray to. That's what personal God means, you know. Doesn't mean that God is a person.
No.
I'm a person relating to God as if it is somebody else, something else.
Uh-huh.
That becomes a personal relationship. And many people, Christian, Jews, Muslims, That's how they relate to God.
Yeah, they have their own ways.
Yeah, so their God is a personal God.
Mm-hmm, in that sense, yeah. In the last chapter, you talk about grace. I very much like to hear that word. It's like something showering down on me, something very sweet. But what is grace?
It is really the love of the divine appearing to us, either as a saving karma experience. Mm-hmm. I talk in that chapter about grace in different ways, different kinds of grace. Mm-hmm. You know, the Sufis talk about general grace and specific grace. Mm-hmm. General grace is the fact that we exist at all, that we live.
Yes.
This the fact that there is world and universe and life, oh, that's the general grace. God made that possible. Mm-hmm. The specific grace is a particular thing that happened to an individual. Mm-hmm. Experience of feeling, as you said, showered with grace, or something good happened in your life, like you find the right mate, mm-hmm. the person you really love who loves you. That doesn't happen to everybody. When that really happened and it's really good, it is a kind of grace, mm-hmm. appearing in as a situation of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like feeling privileged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, many people complain. They don't have that. Even most married people, you know, they're happy for a while, but doesn't last very long. To find the right mate and be in love, totally in love, and love that renews itself for decades is grace. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see, having the right environment, being born to good parents, mm-hmm. who love you, that's grace, because most people are not born to good parents. Mm-hmm. You see,
yes, it seems related to gratitude, actually, when you now talk about it. It seems related to gratitude. And then I wonder if you
can motivate it,
this grace, by acknowledging and seeing and feeling gratitude for this privilege.
The more we see that, the more we have gratitude. But the grace also happens as an experience. You feel a spiritual showering or something, a revelation, something emerges in you, and you're melted by grace, by loving grace, usually in that case. Mm-hmm. Many of those kind of experiences, you know, showered all the way to complete coma, dissolving. Though I'm not aware of myself, I just disappear in complete ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And grace melts me all the way. Mm-hmm. And then I wake up, oh, wow, I'm completely clear.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so grace happens in many ways, and I'm sure it happened to different people differently too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. I have one last question.
Yes.
How much effort should we put in all this? Is it something to strive for, or is it something to allow, or what is your...
Well, first of all, when we recognize that our life is incomplete without spiritual realization, it becomes a priority. It's like, you know, without it, my life is not complete. I'm not a complete human being. I cannot be fulfilled. I can't be completely grateful. Then if we feel that way, we feel naturally we want to put in time. We want to practice. So it's not exactly effort. It's interest. Motivation, you see, a strong drive to know oneself completely. It's called the enlightenment drive. Mm-hmm. It's the enlightenment. Everybody has enlightenment drive, but it is not active. When it gets activated, you can't help, but you want to learn. You want to find out. And you find a way to do it. You find a teacher, you find a school, you find a practice. So... And sometimes it takes effort to practice, but at some point, it's not just effort, it's just something you want to do.
Yes, I also feel like there is no choice. I cannot go back and pretend I'm not on the path.
You're right. And when you know, it's important.
Conventional life.
That's what I mean. It's a drive that happens on its own, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you also write about giving up, that sometimes we are so desperate that we give up, and then often...
Yeah, of course, everybody goes through that because it's not easy. The path is a path. It's just like a journey. It has challenges and difficulties. And sometimes feel so difficult because we encounter inner pain and inner fears, you know, because, you know, it's not just a matter of going from ego to essence without going through things. We have to go through a whole terrain, a whole journey. And the paths have many dangers, but the dangers are more like difficult experiences, not like I'm going to die. It's more like it's sometimes a lot of emotional pain, sometimes terror or fear, sometimes emptiness, sometimes meaningfulness, meaninglessness. Sometimes people feel depressed for a while or hopeless. Mm-hmm. They're long and long and long and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. People might feel they want to give up, but if the enlightenment drive is activated, you know, you don't stop. You can't stop.
No.
You can't stop.
There will be a sequel to this book. What will it be about?
It's called The Inner Beloved.
Wow.
How the divine is the true beloved of the heart. The thing we love in the world are simply an outer expression of the inner beloved.
Beautiful.
Which is finding the deepest part of our spiritual nature within the heart, through the heart.
I'm looking forward to read it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting book. Yeah. Because many traditions know about it, talk about it, but this book gives a detailed account of the stages we go through for us, the inner beloved, to show itself up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows, wakes up and you're sort of dazzled by its beauty, its magnificence.
I feel there's a lot of grace involved there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you like grace and gratitude, so you're a heart kind of person.
Yes, I think so. I feel so.
It's good to have a heart that's really important to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other thing the Sufi says, and that the movement from what's called the animal soul to the human soul is that the animal soul get to have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
When it develops a heart, it's called the human soul.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
And you're beautiful and you're sweet. And I can feel your sweetness.
Well, that must be grace.
Yeah, sweetness in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
And we want other people.
That's why I wrote the book.
That's why I wrote the book. I want people to experience that, mm-hmm. to know it in themselves. I didn't write it just for them, just to get entertained. I want them to feel the love, mm-hmm. and that love is really underlies the whole universe.
I agree with you.
And we need it these days. The world is in big trouble. You know, many places there isn't love. There is love violence. There's love hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Bigotry. And I think love is something that's really needed.
Yes. We do the work.
Yeah.
It was very nice talking to you. Do you often come to Europe or... Rarely.
I do regularly, sometime every other year, sometime every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I teach retreats in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I did the book talk in Amsterdam, that was 2 days before I went to Veldhoven to teach a 10-day retreat.
Mm-hmm.
to the groups I have in Europe.
So then you work with the diamond approach?
Yes.
And you take it step by step? Because
yeah, this last
book I read, so it was a little bit also about the diamond approach. So
that approach has many parts. So this last retreat I taught was about life and death. Mm-hmm. Relation of life and death. That was very interesting because people have to look at their death.
Yes.
And if you live completely, death is not scary.
Mm-hmm. We can die before we die.
That is in the spiritual experience, the realization, yes. If you learn to die before you die, then physical death becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing dying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't die, the body dies.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's only that.
We continue living.
Yes.
And people were interested, what happens after that? How do you continue living? So I told them, well, that's part of the retreat, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good talking to you, Zoe.
It was great talking to you.
Dat was hem weer voor deze aflevering. Dit interview is ook terug te vinden in het september nummer van het magazine Inzicht. Meer informatie hierover vind je op de website inzicht.org. Daar vind je ook meer informatie over deze podcast, over het boek Non-Duale Liefde van Almaas. En al deze informatie en meer vind je ook terug bij de show notes van deze podcastaflevering. Kijk er vooral even naar. Voor nu wil ik je bedanken voor kijken en luisteren en graag tot de volgende keer.